Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Killett, your host. Tim Staples is here with us, senior apologist here at Catholic Answers, the author of Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines, and the cause of a lot of people saying, oh, I'm Catholic now. Hi, Tim Staples.
Hello.
Thanks for being here.
Cy, it is absolutely wonderful to be here.
Well, it's going to get more wonderful because I got a great story for you. And
this is a story I've just been told I haven't heard.
You have not heard this story. Okay. But we got an email from a gentleman named Adam. And Adam is here to tell us the story that he told us in the email. Adam in Indiana, thank you very much for being here with us.
And you are from Indianapolis, is that correct?
Just outside of Indianapolis, small town McCordsville.
Now, isn't that where, do they still have the men's conference there? Isn't that where it is? There's a massive men's conference there. I think it's in Lions Breathing Fire. Isn't that Indianapolis?
I don't know. Des Moines, Iowa. No, that's a family conference in Des Moines. I don't know.
Do you know? Okay, I'm putting him on the spot. I don't think he knows. Uh-oh.
No, he knows. He froze on us.
He froze.
He knows, but he froze. Adam, this story is so good.
Okay.
That we got to get your technicals exactly right before we start, because we can't upset that. So I'm going to chat with Tim for a second while those guys work with you.
Yeah, but I think it is Lions Breathing Fire there. That is one of the greatest men's conferences in the country. I've been there a couple of times, I think. And just huge. At one point, I think they were up to like 10,000 men.
Ooh, wow.
Or something. It was insane. When I went there early on, I remember when they just started the thing, they had like 1,400 to 2,000 and somewhere in there. And the thing just kept growing and growing. I don't know if it's still going on.
I found it, though. It was called Lions Breathing Fire.
Was that Indianapolis?
Yeah, Indianapolis.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it. It's been a long time. But
hey, Indianapolis, let's get going on that
again. Let's do it.
Tim needs to come back there and breathe some fire on some people. All right? All right. Well, we're going to get the calls. We're going to do all of that. But I got to make sure because Adam, what happens to us here sometimes? We get emails. And you might call it refrigerator mail that you would take home and stick on the refrigerator. But Adam's caught our attention because we had never heard a story like this. And it's about his coming into the Catholic faith. Now, I got to check with the technical people. Can we let Adam talk now or no? All right,
Adam. Can you hear me?
Oh, we can hear you. Okay,
all right.
Very good. So I'll tell you what, why don't you just lay it on us, just the way you did in the email.
Awesome. So a slight backstory. I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church.
Yes.
And my dad was a deacon long time. My oldest brother got his advanced biblical studies master's from Southeastern Theological Seminary.
All right.
So to say my family was steeped in Baptist theology would be an understatement.
All right, so you're a rock solid Baptist. Here's the problem. We're technical. What am I supposed to do, Darren? Because I cannot have him start this story and it get interrupted. People will throw rocks at us if we start the story and it gets interrupted. Should he just go to audio? Should we just go to audio for a few minutes or what?
Can we turn my camera off?
Yeah, if you turn your camera off, we'll see if the audio will go a little better.
Not this.
Yeah, I'm dying to hear this now.
I know you are. I can't believe you cheered for Southern Baptist.
Yes.
Do you still feel like a...
Oh, that's how I was raised, man. I was raised a Southern Baptist, and I just have such fond memories, not only of my time later in the Assemblies of God, but being raised Southern Baptist, Sunday school and everything.
Yeah.
I used to absolutely love it. I was the one in my family, even though I was the youngest of four boys, I was the one who was... Get up for church, you know, everybody.
Aww.
I was the one who kind of led the charge, you know, because I loved Sunday school. We used to have You may have heard me say this. We used to have competitions, you know,
on memorization
scripture, yeah. And you had to memorize all the books of the Bible. And I could do that by the time I was like 8 or 9, you know, rattle off all the books of the Bible. And then but there was one kid in my Sunday school class who always beat me. He was one. I am going to memorize more.
And
than
he's
him.
Now Pope Francis. No, no,
no, I don't know. Whatever.
Oh, no, you don't know what happened to him.
I can picture him. But yeah, he used to always beat me. But, you know, it was just. I loved the Southern Baptist community. Yeah.
All right. Well, do you want me to just take a call and then we'll? All right. This is. I feel so bad because this is the. We wanted to have Adam come on and tell the story when you're here.
Oh, okay.
And Adam, we're gonna try again. If this doesn't work, we can hear you. Yeah, that's not the problem. We can hear you fine. And then all of a sudden you freeze up on us. So. Who's ever watching Netflix at high definition in the other room, tell them to knock it off. We need to get this story. All right, go ahead, Adam. Baptist Adam, we got you up to being raised in the Baptist church.
Yes. So I went to Christian University, and I met a girl that I fell in love with and then later found out she was Catholic.
Nope.
Okay, we're going to take a break. But when we come back, we are going to have this worked out. I don't know what's the matter with Indiana just terrible at the internet? Are they just maybe I don't know, maybe other people in Indiana can tell us. I'm going to take an early break. We're going to work on this for a minute. I don't want anybody to miss even a word of this story. It's one of the wildest stories I've ever heard. I guess the devil don't like it. Devil don't like it.
All right.
I'll read my ad. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and all this is going to be straightened out when we come back. Right now, we've got 5 great books on sale, $10 each. The Eucharist is Really Jesus, Why We're Catholic. The Early Church Was the Catholic Church, A Teacher of Strange Things. The Bible is a Catholic Book. Each just $10, all just $50 if you would get them all together. Plus, if you live in the United States, free shipping. I was going to do a joke about no tariffs, but it's in bad taste, isn't it? Is that in bad taste? All right, we'll take a break, and Tim will tell me whether that's in bad taste or not. Right back with more Catholic Answers and Adam's unbelievable story.
All right.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
Carry the faith wherever you go. Watch the EWTN series, specials, events, and news streaming live from anywhere in the world. Streaming is available on the EWTN app for Apple, Android, and Amazon devices. Download the EWTN app at EWTNapps.com today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Nothing against the state of Indiana, but we are just determined to get this story on. We've been wanting to have Adam come on and tell us this story that we got in email. We got up to the point where Adam is raised in a solid Baptist family, and that's a good way to be raised. And then now keep going, Adam, because I know we got good audio now.
Sure. Wonderful. So went to college, met a girl, and was pretty excited about that. Then I found out she was a Catholic, and that was a big problem because growing up, we learned from the complications about why the Catholics is a pagan religion.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, we got married in the Catholic Church. We were going to be an interdenominational family, but that just was not sitting right with me. I became good friends with one of the pastoral associates at the church, and he told me about Catholic Answers, and so I started listening. I'd kind of hit a wall in my journey trying to understand this, because I really thought like, oh, I, you know, the Catholic Church has to prove everything that I know to believe is wrong. And I kind of stopped listening. I kind of gave up on this idea. I was driving home from work one day, and I was really wrestling with it, and I was praying to God that I really needed some answers about some of these issues, and particularly three issues: baptism, transubstantiation, and Mary.
Hang on a second, Adam, because this is pretty common for a Baptist, right?
It is. Baptism, transubstantiation, and Mary.
Those would be typical Baptist.
Huge. Questions. Yeah, for me, it was transubstantiation was probably number one.
Yeah.
And then multiple Marian doctrines were about 2 through 7. You know, yeah. And then justification and all that that entails. So I'm right with you.
This
brother.
Is very important that he has these three specific questions, though. And
yeah.
And all yes. Right, go ahead, Adam.
Yeah. So I had I had finished praying, asking God to basically give me a sign, speak to me. The cliche, I need answers, God. What are you going to do about it?
Right? Yeah.
Like I said, it's been out 2 weeks, maybe more, that I had not listened to Catholic Answers Live. Pull up the podcast. It's an open forum with Tim Staples. Tim Staples is my favorite apologist. They're all great, Carlo and Jimmy, and all of them are fantastic. But Tim speaks my vernacular. The way he explains things, because of how he grew, how he was raised, resonates with me. And so they, Cy, you were on this show hosting, and you opened the hour and said, this is open forum here on Catholic Answers Live. We're going to go to the phone lines. Our first caller from San Antonio, Texas, is Adam. Adam, what's your question? And the question was about baptism. And
wow.
Tim gave a great answer, shared the scripture. Unless you were born of the water and the spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God, right? In my mind, like, how, as a Baptist, I had never heard this scripture before, right? Blew my mind away.
So here's our friend. Hang on, Adam. So here's our friend Adam. He's got three questions.
Yeah.
Gets his first one answered because a guy named Adam called and asked his question. Go ahead, Adam.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome.
So caller hangs up. Tim gives some scripture that I could refer to later as well. I said, all right, we're going to take our next caller from San Francisco. Our caller's Adam. Adam, what's your question?
Adam. Second caller is named Adam. And guess what his question is? His question
was about transubstantiation.
Oh, well, I'm sorry goodness. That I'm interrupting you, because we're just having a little bit of trouble hearing you again, and I want to make sure.
Wait a second.
So here's Adam. Three questions. He needs answers. He tells God he needs answers. First question, baptism. A guy named Adam calls. You answer a question on baptism. Second question, a second guy named Adam calls on his second question, transubstantiation. Go ahead, Adam. Continue. We'll see if we can hear you.
And I'll bet I can predict the third. All right.
Go ahead, Adam. Yeah.
The third one, you gave a great answer on transubstantiation, by the way. It was meaningful. The third one was actually, it was either Twitter or YouTube chat. And as Cy, you said, our next question is for online. It's from a username, Adam. If you paused and you specifically said, Cy, folks, I promise you, we do take questions from people named something other than Adam.
Yeah.
And acknowledge that there's three people in a row.
Three. We open the show with three Adams on the day that Adam has three
Adams.
Questions.
And the third question was about Mary.
Oh,
and if there was anyone to answer about Mary, would be Tim.
Oh,
at that
goodness.
Moment, while still listening, I threw my phone across the car. I'm screaming on I-70. And I had this moment of, all right, in the most explicit terms, God spoke to me.
God is so good.
And called me by name.
Yep.
And I said,
God, me too.
instead of trying to see if the Catholic Church can
I have to accept it all as a truth, and that right now I have to switch my mind.
Wow.
To why it is truth. And it put me on a trajectory that has been life-changing. I ended up doing Christ Renews His Parish shortly after, which was one of the most powerful experiences. I joined the church back in 2010. And I would say I was 2% Catholic then, and now, every percent I can be, I am Catholic and not ashamed of it.
Wow.
But Tim, for decades, I've wanted to share this story with you because you literally were the mouthpiece of God in that moment and transformed my life and my family's life.
Wow, that is the Holy Spirit.
I couldn't believe as I was reading and I realized the third caller is Adam. And I kind of remember this. Like when you said it, and this, we have the tape of all of this.
You know what's funny is I don't remember that.
Three guys named Adam in a row.
Yeah.
To answer Adam's question.
But I do think you mentioned it to me after you got that. Now that we're doing this.
Oh, you?
I do think you mentioned it to me when you got
when
the
email. When I
got
the email.
But I had totally forgotten once again. I'm getting old, Cy Kellett. This is incredible. This, folks, for everybody listening, I mean, this is how much God loves us.
Yeah, right.
God loves doing stuff like this, doesn't he, Adam?
It's unbelievable. And if God can use regular people like us to transform the world, I think it is a call for each one of us to take our vocations, whatever that might be, as seriously as possible.
God bless you. Amen.
But I just want to say thank you to Catholic Answers, to the two of you. And it has been a resource for years that I've used, trying to explain to my very Baptist family why I believe some of the things I do, that I can go to CatholicAnswers.com, grab a link, send it to them, share with it is very powerful.
Beautiful.
You know, I almost feel like someone might go, well, you know, three callers, they matter. That could happen by chance. But that the three callers asked the exact three questions that Adam was just asking God.
Yeah.
And it's...
And well, there are, the old saying, there's no such thing as coincidences in God's providential plan anyway.
No, right.
But this is just, to me, it's just a manifestation for us to know it, to feel it, and believe it. And it's not just when God does extraordinary things like this, but God really does Romans 8:28, right? Everybody's favorite verse. All things work together for the good.
Yeah.
Right? For those who love God. God works all things. But I think these kind of manifestations, little miracles like this, if you will, is just a reminder of who is in charge here.
Well, that's, I have to say, Adam, it's very humbling in the sense that there's nothing that we could have done to make that happen. There's like,
that's right.
You feel very much like, wow, you always... There's a certain sense in which you know yourself, if anything good comes, that you're an instrument. But in this case, you're basically just an instrument. You're a tool. Like, there's nothing we could have done that could have had that effect on you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, honestly, to Tim's point, some of these things can be chalked up as a coincidence or this. And for those things to happen in the moment that they happen and the way in which they happen.
Yeah.
And, I could have clicked on any podcast, right? Like, I don't even think it was live, which is kind of crazier, right? Like, because I use my podcast app.
Oh.
And, there's thousands of episodes to pick from. And so that was the moment of like, look, I think I know a lot, and this is God reminding me how much more infinite He is in His power and His grace and His glory than anyone could ever imagine. And honestly, I would say it has helped me to learn the church and the church's teachings from a place of seeking the truth instead of trying to seek being proven right or wrong, depending on the situation.
Yeah.
And it's, you receive the knowledge and the true fullness of the church in a loving way when you are open to receiving what God has planned. And, you know, because of all of those things, because that, like, we have the number of children that we have. Like, people think we're crazy. You know, we took the church's teachings, God's teachings, you know, to the fullest, and we have a lot of kids, and they're really loud upstairs right now. But that moment wouldn't have happened, you know, without this moment of realizing, like, God is, you know, the ordaining this moment for me to say, like, yes. I have to understand the church.
It's just as beautiful as it gets. I identify with it. I imagine Tim probably does too. Is that our disposition in the way that we ask questions follows on the experience of God's love for us. Sometimes He's really got to show it to us, but He's perfectly willing to show it to us.
Sure.
And then you're not asking questions in a way that's challenging or is in a way that's demanding or insistent, but it is in a way of give this to me, Lord. I want to understand. I want to know.
Yep. I think, Adam, you may have just broken the record for Holy Ghost bumps.
I know, both of us.
You know what? That's what we used to call it.
I know, and I knew the story. I knew what was coming.
Holy Ghost bumps, and I'll bet you there's a lot of folks listening that had those goose pimples all over their arms just now. It's just one of these wonderful moments of realizing, for God so loved the world. Amen. What, you were going to say something, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, what has unlocked for me is this beauty of knowing that, like, there are so many things that are challenging to understand in faith, regardless of what seat you sit in,
yes,
you know, what denomination hat you sit in. But knowing that the Catholic teachings has an answer for everything and no contradictions exist. I remember growing up, you know, like, well, I know this is what they teach, but that's confusing. That doesn't make sense. You know, how can it be, you know, faith alone and then this scripture exists? Or, you know, how do we reconcile this in our world of this type of sin? This is confusing. Yes. And the Catholic teaching is like, it makes sense, and it has no contradictions that exist. And that has been freeing to know that, like, this all works together, and it to raise a family that foundation, like, makes so much more sense.
You know what, Adam? I'm just so identifying with you, bro, in that I remember that first kind of realization, and maybe not the first instant, but this was on my odyssey toward the Catholic faith. There's that realization that happens that, oh my goodness, this thing doesn't depend on me. You know?
Yeah.
I don't have to have all the answers. The church does. That is, if God, now we don't, as you know, Adam, we don't have the answers to everything because God doesn't will us to have the answers to everything. But we do have the answers to every definitive teaching that God wills for our salvation. If somebody contradicts it and I don't have an answer, I can say, I'll tell you what, I'll do. I've done it so many times over the decades here since I've been Catholic. What Matt Dula, my famous interlocutor, did to me all those years ago, he would say, Tim, that's a good point. I don't know, but I will find out.
Yeah.
And he would go back to his spiritual director, and they would come back with a quote from an ecumenical council, from a catechism, from the teachings of the church. And that blew my mind. And then it became a liberation for me that, oh my goodness, no, I don't have to know everything, but I know where the answers are. See, as a Protestant, I couldn't say that because, and some will be saying right now, well, I know where the answers are. They're in the Bible. Well, that's the problem. Is it, right. you have literally tens of thousands of denominations that disagree about what the Bible says. We're talking about, we have a man in the successor of St. Peter, the Bishop of Rome, and we have the bishops in union with the Pope. We have the sensus fidelium of the entire church. We have the universal and ordinary magisterium that can enter, in the case of the Pope, can walk into this room right now and say, thus saith God, this is what it means.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And if you disagree with him, you're disagreeing with Jesus. That's biblical Christianity right there. Jesus didn't give opinions and say, but, you know, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you don't agree, just go start your own church. Right? No. He said, if you disagree with me, you're disagreeing with the Father who sent me. And then, of course, he sent the church, and he gave the church his authority to say the same thing. If you disagree with me, that is the church, you're not disagreeing with me. You're disagreeing with Jesus, and you're disagreeing with God the Father. That was such a liberation for me, brother. So everything you're saying here is like, wow, taking me back in time.
Adam, we're going to let you go. I'm sorry we couldn't do video, but I guess we just didn't have the bandwidth today to get it done. But thank you for coming on and telling that amazing story. Beautiful. Of you coming into the Catholic Church.
Thank you so much. I appreciate all you do.
God bless you,
brother. God bless you. We've got to take a very quick break. We got lots of folks on the call. First up, when we come back, a guy named, let's see, Adam in Michigan. No, just kidding. It's not really Adam. It's a different name. Jonah in Michigan. We're going to get you in a second, Jonah. Be right back. Tim Staples is our guest. It's Ask Me Anything on Catholic Answers Live. When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to casociety315.com and join today.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests. He does on-air debates. And he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
On Friday's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, our topic is struggling with jealousy. And now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. All right, right to the phones, because we've been keeping people waiting, and Jonah in Michigan has been very gracious to wait. Jonah, thank you. I'm sorry to have kept you waiting. Go ahead with your question for Tim Staples.
It's okay, thanks. Thanks so much. My question is, I go to confession like every single month.
Okay.
And my confessor recently told me that I should refrain from saying the actual number of times I committed the mortal sin, to not give numerical estimations, to just have to say, you know, a few times or many times, for example, no numbers. Hmm. I'm wondering if that's the church's actual teaching or if that's personal guidance from my confessor and it's my obligation to listen to that anyway, or if the priest is misled I'm just wondering what's the case here.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the Catholic Church does teach, and I want to qualify this after I say it, but the Catholic Church does teach that in the case of mortal sin, not venial sins, but in the case of mortal sin, you should, if possible, say number and kind. But remember, that is a pastoral exhortation from the church in order to help us to make our confessions more effective. So some people get so scrupulous that they think, oh, boy, I don't know how many times I've done it. So you, in that case, you just estimate. So it's not strictly necessary. It's something to help us pastorally to make a better confession. So in your case, if you know the number and kind, you know, then you should say that. Now, I don't know if there's more going on here that perhaps your priest is seeing some scrupulosity from you or something. I don't know. But that is the teaching, or I should say the discipline of the church, is that you, if you remember, you should confess number and kind. Now, number meaning how many times, and kind, give details only with regard to that what would change the substance of the act without getting into a whole lot here's a simple example, right? If you're confessing that you told a lie, well, if you're telling a lie under oath versus telling a lie to your boss, you know, on an expense report in order to get more money, there is a difference here of kind, because in telling a lie under oath, that is more grave. So you would distinguish in kind between those two kinds of lie. And if you did it under oath on 2, 3, 4 occasions, you would say 2, 3, or 4 occasions. That's what the church requires. Does that make sense, Jonah?
It does.
Yeah. So, you know, in the case of that, you know, I don't think we want to get into the details of your confession on air, but perhaps something to think about. I don't know if the priest is thinking in terms of scrupulosity or something about the way you're confessing, but I, you know, don't let that, you know, hold you up or anything. You know, just go to confession and confess number and kind if you're confessing mortal sins. You know, as I said here, because that is, in fact, the teaching of the church. I think that's about the best we can do here.
All right, Jonah, thank you very much. It sounds like that's what Jonah was looking for. So thank you, Jonah, very much. I'm going to Glory now in beautiful Prescott, Arizona, where Wyatt Earp once lived, listening on our website, Catholic.com. Hi, Glory.
Hi.
Welcome.
Are you ready?
Yes, we are ready. Okay. Ready to go.
I'm ready.
Is your name really Glory?
It is.
That is awesome.
Beautiful Protestant parents who love old Methodist hymns, I think.
Wow, beautiful.
I think that is that's exactly what I was going to say. That sounds like something that a Pentecostal family would name their child. Not just Glory, but Glory. Anyway, what's on your mind, Glory?
Okay, my question is a bit complicated, at least to me.
Okay.
Is it possible, according to canon law, for an Orthodox rite of marriage to take place inside of a Catholic parish? And this is, I have context for that.
That is certainly legitimate if it's approved by the bishop. In fact, there's a reciprocating relationship between Christian bodies on this. For example, you'll find a lot of times in parishes where they don't have a building yet, or they're in the process of building. I was at one parish where a Presbyterian community let us use their church building for our masses, and we've done similar, and I've seen similar cases for others as well. So there's no problem there. There are certain things that you have to do in preparation. Okay. But it, you know, as long as it's approved, like for example, in that case that I shared with you, the bishop said you have to remove the Blessed Sacrament. So there were certain things that had to happen in order for the Protestants to be able to use it. But yes, it's certainly legitimate with the permission of the bishop.
That's great to know. Yeah, my sister is actually getting married to a Greek Orthodox man, and my husband and I have just been troubled because we're like, you know, the Orthodox Church, since it's going to be like the Orthodox rite of marriage that they're right. getting married in. And so we were just like, is this wrong? Because
right.
as long as it, yeah. and they don't accept our dogmas. But they did get dispensation from the bishop.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just we were wondering, like, is the bishop wrong?
No, he's kind of a... he is within his authority as a bishop.
Okay.
All right, Glory. Thank you very much. It was very nice talking with you. I'm going to keep going quick just because
let's do it.
I got all the lines full. Chris is in Yorktown, New York, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Chris, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, Cy and Tim.
Hi, Chris.
Cy, I also recently joined their radio club, so I'm super excited about that.
Oh, well, thank you for joining.
All right.
Well, before you go, I'll tell people how they can join. You'll be getting our weekly emails now in video format.
Oh, cool. All right. So I have a question about Jesus and a question about the Eucharist. So in the same way that Jesus gave us the formula for baptism, and if it's not followed, that baptism is invalid.
Correct.
If a priest doesn't use the word of institution that Jesus gave us, does that mean that the Eucharist is invalid at the consecration, that we would just be receiving regular bread at Mass?
Correct. Now, we have to be careful, though, because the Church over the centuries has qualified mother necessity, right? Down through the centuries, you have cases arise where a little bit of tweaking happens, and there can be some tweaking that doesn't invalidate. Sometimes it's a matter of it being illicit but not invalid, and sometimes it is a matter of invalid. Like, to take the obvious, if a priest says, this represents my body, guess what?
Right.
You've got an invalid Mass, and you've still got bread, right? So you do have to, it's not, the Church is not so strict that it's the letter of the law and the letter of the words. There is some wiggle room. But, you know, as my spiritual director used to say in the seminary, just say what the Church says, Father.
Yeah.
or in the case of the liturgy, say what Jesus said, right?
Right. Is that okay, Chris, or you have follow-up?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, 'cause I've just heard different, sometimes variations at different parishes we've been at during when the priest is on the altar, and they're not, like, following what the book says, you know. So I was just curious.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Chris.
Chris, thanks for mentioning Radio Club, too, because I always forget to talk about it, and thousands of people get it, and it's just free stuff. We don't ask you to do anything, or we just want to share, like, the behind the scenes here and some, you know, various things each week. So if you want to join Radio Club, if you're listening and you're like, I didn't even know there was a Radio Club, just go to the show notes in our podcast or on the YouTube page or wherever. There's a link you can click in the description of each episode where you can join Radio Club if you'd like to join. Thank you, Chris. Thanks again. All right, I'll tell you what, better take a very quick break and then right back with more Ask Me Anything with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to do good without God's help. Saint Therese said, when we trust only ourselves and not God, our soul becomes incapable of virtue. Her remedy? Works of charity. And the greatest work of charity is to share the gospel. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we encourage you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Isn't it awesome that we today do not recognize his presence in the Eucharist? Is it because we really don't go to him in humbleness of heart and say, Lord, I don't believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to see you. I want to recognize you. I cannot live without you. Are we saying that?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Just marching through the calls for Tim Staples. It's Ask Me Anything, and we have quite a few calls. So back we go to the phones. I believe I am going to Jeff in Yardley, Pennsylvania, listening on 1260 AM. Jeff, welcome. Go ahead with your question.
And gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. The show is enlightening.
Oh, thank
you. My question, it really is. My question is as follows. I'm a lifelong Catholic. I have many Protestant friends. And we try to bridge the gap between our two religions. And we try and speak more comfortably and easily about the differences. But an issue because of some of their pastors' vehemence about this position is that the topic of salvation through faith alone,
right,
versus salvation through faith and good works, which,
right,
is what Catholicism,
right,
endorses. And my question that I want to pose, I want to distill it down, is that why do certain Protestant denominations,
yeah,
take such an adamant stance about salvation through faith alone? What's the downside,
right,
of salvation through faith and good works?
Right. Great question, Jeff. And as one who's been on both sides here, as a Protestant myself, I will tell you why. And as one who has debated many Protestant ministers over the year and have over the years, and has had, I could not tell you how many conversations with Protestant scholars and pastors and so forth over the years. I think this is a very good question because I think Catholics need to understand this better, that from the Protestant perspective, they see any, especially if you're talking to a Calvinist now, any attempt to add anything that we have to do, if you put that into the equation of how you get to heaven, they say you're denying the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice. You're denying, you know, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. He was crucified on the cross. He died once and for all. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. So if you say that we have to do, and this was Luther's, if you read Bondage of the Will, this was Luther's whole argument. If you say we have to do anything, you're denying everything. And that's why he, oh my goodness, in his a paper that he wrote that became a book, An Admonition Concerning the Sacrament, which I've read more than once. I mean, he just sees the Mass as the ultimate evil. It's the gravest evil the papists have ever put forth. And why? Because we have to do something. We have to offer the Holy Sacrifice, our sacrifices along with his, and so forth. That is blasphemy to Luther. And perhaps, if that's possible, even more with Calvin. Now, of course, where they are wrong, and now I can add, as far as the works thing, you know, you look at verses of Scripture like Romans 4, verse 5, which was my favorite when I was Protestant. To him that does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Man, I would hang my hat on that. What does the Bible have to say, man? To him that does not work. See, and so what they're not understanding is texts like that are talking about something that the Catholic Church and Protestants really agree on, and that is there is nothing we can do apart from Christ that can contribute to our salvation, justification in any sense whatsoever. And so texts like that, you look at Romans 4, 5, the context, what is he dealing with? Go back to Romans 3, 28, where Paul says that we're justified by faith apart from works of law. That's what the discussion is all about. The Judaizers who were saying it's not enough to believe in Jesus and keep the new covenant law, which we do have to keep, right? As you know, St. Paul makes very, very clear in multiple places that he says, I am under the law of Christ. We have to obey. I mean, it's all over the place. But what we're saying is that, yes, we are justified by grace. And there's a sense in which we can say, as Catholics, we're justified by grace alone, as long as we understand that we're not eliminating the necessity of cooperating with that grace. And that's where good works comes in. But the key here, again, for like verses like Romans 4, 5, is that the Judaizers were saying, it's great that you believe in Jesus, but you've got to be circumcised. You've got to keep the old law, which has passed away. And that's why you have texts of Scripture like Hebrews chapter 7, verses 11, that says if justification came through the Levitical priesthood, what further need was there that another priest should be called and arise after the order of Melchizedek and not after the order of Aaron? For where there is a change in priesthood, there is of necessity a change of law. You see, we have a change of law. We have a new law. The Sermon on the Mount, we have a new law. Love one another as I have loved you, a new commandment I give you, John 13:34. And so the key is that those texts of Scripture, and we could add more like Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. I hope my kids are watching because this has been our discussion lately on Sundays at the Staples House. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, right, Rose? For by grace you have, that was her assigned verse last week, by the way, just so you guys know, my 16-year-old. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Another favorite of mine when I was Protestant. See, that text emphasizes what Romans 4, 5 says, Romans 3, 28, and so many others, Galatians 2, 16 through 18, and so many others we could look at. That says, not by works, not by works. Why? Because the context of the conversation is works that we do apart from Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2, Paul's talking about, you know, he says to the Ephesians in verses 1 through 4, he says, you who were dead in your trespasses and sins, you who were by nature children of wrath. That's verse 3. Look at that. You know, then he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is gift of God. What is he saying? Well, grace and faith are gifts of God. And the salvation that follows, the initial grace of faith and salvation is entirely unmerited. There's nothing you can do to merit. And that's the point. And then once you enter into Christ, even then, it's only by grace and as Paul says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, cooperating, sun ergantes, there is a Greek participle. He says, cooperating with God, he says, we urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For, you know, now is the day of salvation. Today, in other words, he's calling them now, and they're Christians, to continue to serve the Lord. Right? So, you know, Galatians 5, 4, St. Paul warns, you are fallen from grace. Those of you who are attempting to be justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. So even in our life of faith, we have to continue to understand that it's only in him, with him, through him. As the priest says in the liturgy, right? In the Eucharistic prayer. In him, with him, through him, by the grace of God, that is how we cooperate with God and, yes, merit eternal life by our good works, as Paul makes plain. And so this is what you want to do, is explain some of those verses that appear to say faith alone. They never say faith alone. They say faith, but never faith alone. And then help folks to see. But now we have plain verses like Romans chapter 2, verse 6, where St. Paul says, God will reward each man according to his works. To him who continues in good works, his reward shall be glory and corruption and eternal life. You show him Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. If a man continues to sow to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap death. But if he continues to sow to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit or from the Spirit reap the reward of everlasting life. And then in verse 9, he says, therefore, let us not grow weary in doing good, knowing we will reap the reward. What reward? Everlasting life. By the way, that's Luke's verse for this Sunday, Galatians 6. That's my son Luke. Verses 7 through 9. Notice the reward for continuing to sow to the Spirit is everlasting life. So anyway, that's just a thumbnail sketch, the way that I go about helping people to understand. We are not, as Catholics, denying the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice, because we believe that it's through the sacraments that God continues to communicate the power of what Christ did on the cross to our lives, so that, and even as we walk with the Lord, my brother, you know, such as for, we see in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, St. John says, if we walk in the light, and that means there continue to, if we continue to walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, which means us with God, fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, continues to cleanse us from all sin. If we say, I'll read verse 8 there, if we say we have no sin, we are a liar and the truth is not in him. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. So what's happening as we're walking with the Lord? Well, that infinite, you know, the infinite merits of Christ that he merited on the cross flow into our lives by that cooperation. We're not taking away from what he did on the cross. It's God is applying what Jesus did on the cross to our lives through that cooperation. And that's why, you know, the church emphasizes that any good that we do is first a gift from God itself. As St. Augustine said, when God rewards us, he's basically just crowning his own merits, because it's only by the grace of Christ, first and foremost, that we can have the power to be able, in a secondary sense. That's why we say Jesus is the first cause of our salvation. We are the secondary cause by that cooperation, which isn't, again, taking away from Christ. It's allowing Christ to apply what he did on the cross into our lives. So that discussion is very, very important with our Protestant friends. Does that make sense, Jeff?
It certainly does. I want to thank you for that really keen commentary. I couldn't scribble notes fast enough.
Oh, you can play this again. You know, you can.
That's right.
You can.
I'm going to have to go back into the archive to really let this seep in. But
is there,
thank you. This was just a great response. And in closing, then, is this something that's even bridgeable then with my friends?
Yes.
Because we want to be civil. Be social.
Yes.
And
yeah, you know what? It as long as we do it in charity and respectfully, as St. Paul says, or St. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, you know, with meekness and with respect. I am proof positive, as was Adam earlier on this broadcast, that yes, it's doable, because I was probably one of the most anti-Catholic men you would have ever met if you would have met me way back when. But I am Catholic now because a wonderfully generous and merciful Catholic way back when took the time to talk to me, just like I'm talking to you right now, Jeff. Oh, yes, it is doable. Thanks be to God.
Jeff, what a great pleasure.
Go ahead. Allow me to thank you, and please keep up your fine efforts. It's just a great show.
All right. God bless you.
Oh, you are all right. I don't recall in the conversation whether you have a copy of Tim's book, Behold Your Mother, but I'll tell you what, whether you do or don't, I'm going to send you a copy, Jeff. All you got to do is give us an address. This will be your second copy. You can share it with someone else if you don't have it. If you do have it, but if you don't, then enjoy it. Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines. You're going to yell at me, Tim. I know you're going to yell at me.
What,
I can feel it coming. We're done.
No!
I knew it. I knew you were going to yell at me.
You know, that I got to say, thank you for all the callers. They were great. But Adam just made my month right there.
I know. That's a really that something special was, that Adam shared with us.
Wow. Yeah. Just, it's a shot in the arm because, you know what? Once again, I'm getting goosebumps, man. This is twice. But this, it's just a confirmation that God is here.
Amen. Right.
God's
right.
grace right. is
and
here.
And it never hurts to get that confirmation.
Amen.
No, it never hurts. All right. That will do it for us. It's tomorrow. Jimmy's going to be here tomorrow. We'll probably be Ask Me Anything with Jimmy Akin tomorrow. In the meantime, if you want to get those deals, $10. Some of our best books are on sales for just $10 each over at shop.catholic.com. I don't think you even need a promo code. No, I'm looking at the thing. You don't even need a promo code. Just buy a book, get it for $10 at shop.catholic.com. We will see you tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.